Today about, let's discuss today. I want to combine together a few ideas, a few concepts together in one shot. What do I mean? Topic number one is Baal Tosef. Number two is saying in between the tekiyos yihi ratzon during the tekiyos the yeshiva. The tekiyos that we blow before Musaf, in some of the machzorim, there is a paragraph to be said, a paragraph that some say, a yehi ratzon, to be mispalel to Hashem, that He should forgive us for our sins. You know, when Mr. Cohen comes back from Ham, get me a machzor there. I'll show you, I'll go with what it says there. And is it correct for us to recite the yehi ratzons on Rosh Hashanah during the Tekiyos? When we blow Shofar, when we blow Shofar before Musaf, we blow 30 kolos, 30 sounds, 10, 10, 3 different sets. We blow 3 times Tekiyah, Shvarim, Teruah, Tekiyah, 3 times Tekiyah, Shvarim, Tekiyah, 3 times Tekiyah, Teruah, Tekiyah, and in between these sets, thank you very much, Mr. Willis, thank you for the doctor. In between each set of 10, in the Machzor, or at least...
Not
10,
it's
9-9. Oh, right, it's 12-9-9, right? It's 12 because the Shram 2 is 12, and then it's 9-9, so grand total of 30. In between these sets, in some of the Machzor, probably many of them, but once we have over here, in this Machzor, yeah, see, in the Art School Machzor, I have over here the interlinear, Machzor, in between each set, there's a yehi ratzon. Yehi ratzon mufnacha shetikias, tekiyah shvarim, teruah tekiyah, shanachnu toikim, hayoyim tehei, merukemes, biriyah, it shall be embroidered, biriyah, on the heavenly curtain, they translate here. Al yidei hanumune, is a malach, keshem shekibalta, al yidei elio zochul atoif, another malach, sar haponim, v'simoleolenu berachanim. Baruch atah Baal Harachan. Okay, this is really spooky Kabbalistic things which I don't think we're really too familiar with. Some people love this stuff, okay? They really go for this stuff and the question is, should they recite it? And this, by the way, is the Hidos that appears in the Art Scroll Machzor. I have no doubt that in many other Machzorim there are different Hidosans. Certainly, you know, each Kehila has a different Masorah, and they have different Hidosans. Are you permitted to recite this Yehi Ratzon in between the three sets? You see, I'll read you what it says in the Art Scroll Interlinear Machzor. Some congregations recite the following prayer at this point. However, many authorities rule that no prayer be recited until all three sets of shofar blasts have been sounded. Okay? So Art Scroll, in big cap, in all caps, they tell you, some, and that there are authorities, CDC, FDA, who's the authority here? There are authorities that rule no prayer be recited, okay? So they present to you, machlokes, should we say it? But they do put it in the machzor, and do what you want. No one's forcing you, you decide. You decide if you want to say the yiratzon or not say the yiratzon. Okay, that's what we have in the matzah. Question is, what's this all about? Why yes, why not? So obviously yes, because, you know, it's always nice to daven. And the truth is, I think this machzor is a watered down version. Because when they talk about saying it's in between, it's vidui. Vidui. I mean, most of the early commentators, they talk about confessing. Confessing, saying, Ashamnu, Baganu, Gosat, even though you don't normally do these things on Rosh Hashanah. But there are exceptions, whatever it is. They don't really just say Yehi Ratzon. It's something much more heavyweight. A heavyweight. In fact, some say it's supposed to sit, shave. There's a whole song they don't have that they don't have in the Machzor. So the Makri is supposed to announce in between the sets, he's supposed to say the word shave, sit down. Okay, that's not for we'll discuss, that's not for now. But what's this going on? Why yes, why not? So he said, why yes, because obviously, you know, you want to embellish the mitzvah with tefillah, we got it. That's easy to understand. Why not? Hefsik. Hefsik. You're not allowed to be mafsik between the tekiyos, since we hold that you have to blow 30 sounds to be yotze min haTorah, 30 sounds. So you don't want to be mafsik in between the first part and the second part. It's a hefsik. Okay, the third topic, though, would intertwine with all this, it is what exactly is the ikar mitzvah? Is the ikar mitzvah to blow a tekiyah shvarim through a tekiyah? Is the ikar mitzvah to blow a tekiyah shvarim tekiyah? Or is the ikar mitzvah to blow tekiyah through a tekiyah? Or maybe the ikar mitzvah to blow all three together? Why exactly are we blowing 30 sounds? Why is it not sufficient just to blow either in one set? Whether it's going to be tekiyah shvarim through a tekiyah, tekiyah shvarim, tekiyah through a tekiyah, why three sets? So again, we have three topics. Now, let me go back in time number one and just elaborate a little bit more. How are we permitted to blow, if min haTorah, the only obligation to blow shofar is 30 sounds, what gives us permission to blow 100 sounds? Why do we not consider the sounds that we blow during chazar sashatz and after davening is over to be bal toisef?
What's the makor for learning 30?
With drushes. I don't have it fluent. The Mor says, the Mor makes gzera shavus, which comes out, you have to do three times. You have a gzera shavus that says yom teruah, you have to do three times. I forgot the drasha. It's a drasha. The Gemara, you have to blow basically three sets. Tekiyah, so there's a drasha that every teruah must be sandwiched with a tekiyah in the front and a tekiyah at the end. And then the Gemara makes a second drasha that tells us this must be done three times. Drashas. All it says in the Torah is yom teruah. Drasha number one is a teruah must be accompanied by a tekiyah in the beginning and a tekiyah at the end. Drasha number two, you do this three times. So all you need to do, technically, is what we call 10 sounds, or really 9 sounds. Tekiyah to a tekiyah, tekiyah to a tekiyah, tekiyah, teruah, tekiyah. Now we got a problem. What is a teruah? Is a teruah what we call a teruah today? Or is a teruah what we call today a shavarim? Or maybe a teruah is the combination of both of them together? And yes, and we went even further to say, even when you do a shavarim teruah, do you do shavarim and take a breath and then do a teruah? Or you do a b'neshima achas? We really went to four different sekas of what exactly should you be blowing. Okay, that was dilemma number two. Dilemma number three we said is, are you allowed to say the yiratzah in between these different sets? And dilemma number one is an issue which is a very serious issue of Baal Toisef. How are we permitted, why are we permitted to blow shofar during Chazar Sashas and when davening is over? Why is that not a violation of Baal Toisef? When the Torah tells you to do something, you may not do more than what you are supposed to do. You have tefillin, how many compartments are there in your tefillin? Four compartments. If a person were to add a fifth parasha, why not? Very nice. I have four parashas, so you know what? Why not have a fifth? Pick a parasha. Pick your bar mitzvah parasha and tell the sofer to write it in very small letters and you'll stick it into the tefillin. When they stick in the four parashas into the bottom, you'll stick in your bar mitzvah parasha, or at least the first aliyah. It's my bar mitzvah parasha. I want my bar mitzvah parasha in my tefillin. What's so terrible? What's the problem? Why not? If I have four parashas, that's just the minimum, right? It's like the guy who got a speeding ticket on the highway. Cop calls him over. It says, you know, you're going 85 miles an hour. This is a 55 mile an hour zone. What are you doing? Sugar. So the guy says to the police officer, I thought when it says 55, that's the minimum. So when the Torah says four parashas, that's the minimum. You can add into whatever you want. The Torah says, don't be a wise guy. Baal Toisef. Okay? Baal Toisef. You're not allowed to add more than what I tell you to do. Don't. Baal Toisef, Baal Tigra. Follow the rules. Do what you're supposed to. Don't add more. So why are we permitted to blow another 30 sounds during Chazar Sashatz? Why are we permitted to blow another 40 sounds when davening is over? Why does this not violate the law of Baal Toisef? Three dilemmas. Three different topics. Baal Toisef. Hefsik, between what exactly is the mitzvah? You're only supposed to blow one set. Why are we blowing 30 sounds? We only need to blow 9 sounds. The Gemara's conclusion is tekiyah, Tua, Tekiya, three times. That's 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. I think that adds up to 9. 9 is it. So what, where did 9 turn into 100? What happened over here? All of these things are related to one another. Now, let's start with Baal Tosef. Now, one of the best examples to bring out Baal Tosef is Shmini Atzeres. Now, Shadaf Yom 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 Yom. Maybe we discuss this here. Couldn't we discuss it? I don't remember not that long ago. But it really fits in over here to help us understand what the mitzvah is. It's really a great example. Shmini Atzeres, do you sit or do you not sit? That is the question. Okay, well, I don't know, what does everyone here do? Everyone here sits in the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres? Everyone says Shmini Atzeres. It says the Gemara says explicitly, Hilchasah, you sit in the Sukkah, but you do not make a bracha. Wait a minute, why? And those who do not want to sit in the Sukkah, there are people who do not sit in the Sukkah. Why do they not sit in the Sukkah? They're going to complain to you, it is Baal Tosef. Correct? It's Baal Tosef. It's not Sukkah. The Torah says sit in the Sukkah for 7 days. Sitting in the Sukkah on the 8th day is Baal Tosef. Do you take a little bit of Eshrog on Shmini Atzeres? Why? But it might be Sukkah. It might be Sukkah. Why don't we take a little bit of Eshrog on Shmini Atzeres? We take a little bit of Eshrog for 7 days. We take it for 7 days. Shmini Atzeres, we sit in the Sukkah because maybe Shmini Atzeres is really the 7th day. Is really the 7th day of Sukkot. So the same way that Shmini Atzeres might really be the seventh day of Sukkot. So we should take Lulav and Esrog. Also, so why don't we take Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres? It's Baal Tosef, right? It's Baal Tosef because you can't go do Seikah D'Yoma when. Oh, that's not really a good example.
So the Gemara
asks your question. The Tais asks your question, and what is the answer is because the only reason in the world why you would pick up a Lulav and Esrog, there's only one reason in the world why you would do it. It's because of the mitzvah. No one today is going today outside on the street and looking for a Lulav and Esrog and picking it up and shaking it. Anyone that picks up a Lulav and Esrog, it's only because you're doing the mitzvah. Do you, every so often on a nice day, go to your backyard, go out to your patio, and sit outdoors in a nice tent? People do it all the time. Okay, they don't necessarily do it the way we do with the schach, but people, on a nice, pleasant day, when the weather is just right, you go out into a patio, you go outdoors, and you sit in a nice little hut. For your own pleasure. So it's not noticeable, it's not 100% noticeable that you're doing it, you're sitting in the hut for the purpose of Sukkah, so you can get away with it. Maybe on the 8th day, it's really the 7th day. And there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to sit in the Sukkah on the 7th day. Maybe today is day 7, maybe not. If today is day 8, and I'm sitting in the Sukkah, I am in violation of Baal Tosef. But you know what? I can get away with it. Because if today is really day 8 and I'm sitting in the Sukkah, I can claim, I'm not sitting in the Sukkah to do a mitzvah. I'm sitting in the Sukkah for my own personal pleasure. In the middle of the summer, I sit in the Sukkah. In the middle, you know, when the weather is nice, we go, we have a meal outdoors, we have a barbecue outdoors. That's so, since it's not nikar lehedya that you're sitting in the sukkah for the purpose of a mitzvah, that's why it's permitted. Okay, but here's my question. What would happen if you would go and you would sit in the sukkah in the middle of the winter at Chanukah? It's Chanukah today. It's 0 degrees outdoors. 0 degrees. And we have these delicious donuts. Let's go into the sukkah with the schach, and we'll sit in the sukkah. Now, no one's going in the middle of the winter to sit in the hut. No one's going. But I'm going to go into the sukkah. Nice, beautiful sukkah. Looks like a sukkah with all the decorations, like mamash sukkahs. I'm going to sit in the sukkah. Are you oiva baal tosef if you go into the sukkah?
Oh,
Bizman HaMitzvah. So Chanukah is not Bizman HaMitzvah. So, no, you want to be a meshugana? Be a meshugana. Do it. Do gazum tehe. Do whatever you want to do. You want to be crazy? Be crazy.
You have to make a bracha.
What? No, even without a bracha. If a person goes into the sukkah in the middle of the winter, there's no one in the world that will tell you you're over and about yourself. Because it's exactly, it's not the zman mitzvah. If you take, you put on your head, you have tefillin, and right next to my tefillin, I take a paper cup, and I take some straps, and I tie it down to my head. And I put, I don't know, you write your name on it. Are you over on Baal Tosif? No, you don't know Baal Tosif. I'm a shugana. Not on Baal Tosif, you're a little strange. What is Baal Tosif? Chazal, Baal Tosif means take your tefillin, your kosher tefillin, and add into the tefillin another parasha. You have to have the chefts of the mitzvah and add more into the. If you want to put on your tefillin, and then next to your tefillin, you want to go tie in a cardboard box, a tissue box, a plastic cup, that's not Baal Tosif. Baal Tosif, you have to be in it to win it. Now here's why Shmini Atzeres is extremely unique. Shmini Atzeres is called the eighth day. Sukkot, there are 7 days of Sukkot. Bayoim HaShmini Atzeres Yelochem. You cannot have 8 without 7. Which means the holiday is not over yet. B'di'evet, if a person says on Shmini Atzeres in the Shmoyne Esrei and in the Kiddush, Bayoim Chag HaSukkos HaZeh, you yotze. You remember what happened with Art Scroll? 100 years ago, they put out the Shmini, they put out a Sukkos Machzor. When they put out the first Sukkos Machzor, they made a mistake. And the entire Nusach HaTfil of Shmini Atzeres in the Machzor concluded, B'yoyim Chag HaSukkos HaZeh. So they told everyone who bought it, come to the store, we don't want the whole thing, we don't want the whole Siddur, we don't want the Sheamus, just cut off the cover, bring us the cover, and you get a new free machzor. And you can keep the old machzor without the cover. Do whatever you want with it. But what do you mean? There are responsible now for many people who are not aware on Shmini Atzeres, in the Nusach HaTfilah, they're going to be saying in the davening, B'yoyim Chag HaSukkos HaZeh. Guess what? It's okay. If you made that mistake because of us, and you said B'yoyim Chag HaSukkos HaZeh, you have fulfilled your obligation. You do not repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Why? Because the Torah says that Shmini Atzeres is called the Yoim HaShemini. It's day 8. You can't have an 8 unless you have 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if those days are called Sukkos, that means the B'di'evet Shmini Atzeres is called Sukkos. It's called Yom Chag HaSukkos. Now look at that. Here you are, Shmini Atzeres. You really are in essence on the 8th day of Sukkot. It's the 8th day of Sukkos. And the Torah says, "Basukos teshvu shiv asyon." I only want you to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. On the 8th day of Sukkos, I don't want you to sit in the sukkah. If you are going to sit in the so the 8 days is like your tefillin, it's like the batim. And in that batim, you put 7 parshios. If you now sit in the sukkah on day 8. It's like you're putting an 8th parsha into those batim. You're putting a 5th parsha into the batim. Because Sukkos is 8 days, it's a package, and the Torah tells you, I only want you to sit in the sukkah for 7 days. If you sit in the sukkah on the 8th day of Sukkos, that is a severe, severe violation of Baal Tosif. That's answer your question, Mr. Willis, when it comes to the Dalet Minim. Same answer. There are 8 days of Sukkos. The Torah told you, you only take the Lulav and the Esrog on the first day in that Torah, in the Beis HaMikdash, 7th, and we do it 7 days, Zechel HaMikdash. 7 days! Taking the Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres is infinitely worse than taking the Lulav and Esrog today, on Chanukah. On Chanukah, if you pick up the Lulav and Esrog and shake it on Chanukah, big deal. Don't be very careful. Don't pick up the lulav and esrog on Shmini Atzeres. Taking the lulav and esrog on Shmini and shaking it can be mamish and iser d'oraisa baal tosif. Because Shmini Atzeres is Sukkos. It is Sukkos. And the Torah said you only take Lulav and Eshrog on Sukkos for 7 days. By the Beis Hamikdash, it's 7 days. We, by Midrabban, they let us do it for 7 days. It's not called Baal Pesach, because in the Beis Hamikdash it was 7 days. So we do it for 7 days also. The eighth day, don't you dare. If you take the Lulav and Eshrog on the eighth day, that's mamish, a real, real violation of Baal Pesach. Because the eighth day is Sukkos. Shmini Atzeres is the eighth day of Sukkos. And on the eighth day of Sukkos, the Torah told you explicitly, do not take. And if you're going to take, it's like you have the baton. And in the baton, it's supposed to have 4 parashas. So you put in the 5th parasha into the baton. That is the real Baal Tosef. Now, translate that to Tkiya Shofar. What is Tkiya Shofar? So there's a machlokes. So now, before we begin, there is a ritzel that is mind-boggling. This ritzel is something that you fill with the Zvar, and you would say, oh, this is a maral. This is B'nai Tzoscha, this is a Sasemes, Chedush Harim. You know, you might not even say that. You probably would say it's none of the above. This is something that Yosher Ber Soloveitchik would say. Something from the 20th century. He would say he would say, Rav Yosher Ber, refer to Rav Yosher Ber's whole, and yet, you know who says what I'm about to tell you? A Ritza, a Rishon. It's like really like Mamash, a time machine, he says. You know, what is the two? Machlekes. One opinion says the two is shvarim, 2, 2, 2. The other opinion says that it's a two, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. The other opinion says it's the combination of shvarim tuua. So what is it? So Rabbi Avohu came along. Rabbi Avohu, and listen, we don't know. Is it this? Is it that? Is it that? How does a person cry? Let's do everything together. We'll do it all. Satisfy l'kedei l'kayim yidei shneihem. We'll do everything, all the possibilities to make everyone happy. And we're going to come back to that in a second, what exactly that means. The Ritva goes even further in explaining Rabbi Avohu than anyone else, gone to where no man has gone before. And he says, in every generation, and really by extension, every person's life, different tekufas in their life, they cry. I'm embellishing what the Ritva says. It's not exactly what he says. I'm embellishing it a little bit more than what he says. But the idea is, in every generation, people cry about different things differently. What we cry about today, our ancestors couldn't care less about. And the things that our ancestors cried about, we couldn't care less about. You know, I'll tell you a funny joke. Play a funny joke about that. It's not a joke, it's a very sad story. A bit of the Galacha. A guy comes to Rav Steinman, Zeche Tzadik, it's a very famous line, right? And he says, you know, he was a rich American, his parents supported him, whatever, he had a lot of money, and he's living in Eretz Yisrael, and his wife worked this, and he wanted to buy a car. Now, the car is in Eretz Yisrael, not the cars in America. You know, the car is in Eretz Yisrael, are these like teeny little cars, and he wanted to get a car.
Then.
What?
That was then.
Now that everything's different,
but
the rich
still
Americans.
Small.
No, it's a poor country. Even the rich, the standards are very, very different
very
in America.
Yeah.
So he said, so what's out of my backyard? But you know, all of my chaverim and koilel and where I live, they couldn't even have a hasaga to afford to have a car. I'm afraid of ayin hara. So Ezer Steinman, but I really need it. We really need it for that. We need it for one. Baruch Hashem, we have the money for it. But I'm afraid of, you know, my people, they can't afford this. The ayin hara. So Steinman says, ayin hara, tell me, what are you learning now? Bava Kamma. Do you know the whole Bava Kamma, inside out? Do you know Shas? Do you know the whole Shas? No. Do you know the whole Seder of Talmud? No. Do you know the Masechta you're learning? Inside out, from beginning to end? Can I give you a test on the whole Masechta of the Kamma from beginning to end? No. Do you know a Perek of the Masechta? Do you know the Mishnayos? No. Don't worry. No one's going to give you an Ayin Hara. No one's Mekanes such Amaratzis. Okay? So here you have this American boy. He's afraid of Ayin Hara of the Gashmias, the car, the food, the clothing. okay, your apartment, Ayin Hara, Rav Steinman, doesn't even look at these things. By him, do you know Shas? Can I test you? You know everything, Kol HaTorah Kula? You know Masechta? A Guraba Am HaAretz? You worried about Ayin Hara? No one's Mekana such Amaratzis. You can get the car. Okay, it's a whole different asana. So Rav Steinman, what he's worried about is not what, it's not what this fellow was worried about. But it's just, it's much, much more deeper than that. In every generation, when things happen, you get upset about it. What we get upset about, what bothers us, even Ruchnius, forget about, okay, that was a joke about Gashmis. Even talk about Ruchnius. Every generation has a different set of values, a different group, and what bothers them is not what bothers us. And when they do get upset, how do they express their frustration? Are they activists? Do they march in Washington? Do they write letters to their senator? Do they get together? I have a young tila. You know, it's really interesting that today, in this whole tkufa, the last, I have not even heard, and maybe I'm just out of the loop, of a young tefila. You ever hear a yeshiva? Okay, today we have Yom Kippur Kotel, and the whole yeshiva has to fast. We're going to say Tehillim. During this whole Corona period, I don't know. Maybe I'm out of the loop, and also because you're not allowed to congregate, so you can't get together because of social distancing. But it's like, it's more than that. I don't believe it's just the fact that it's not practical. It's, we're in such a different mindset, and we're so already overwhelmed, and we've been through this already so many times. It's not effective. The whole goal is do what you're supposed to do. Forget about having a Yom Tila years ago. Remember Persian Gulf War, Persian Gulf War number one, Persian Gulf War number two, this and this. It was like, I remember the Persian Gulf War number one. The Persian Gulf War, the first time when the United States, the first time they went into Iraq. And Saddam, remember Bush won? Okay, the Tata, the Bush W's father, Saddam Hussein, no, who was the one who invaded?
Hussein.
First time.
First Bush.
Saddam. So, remember those days? It was a whole different world. I remember the day when they invaded. The next morning, I went to Chaim Berlin to davening. And you know what they did? They opened the oroim and they said, Avinu Malkeinu. Avinu Malkeinu, that was shocking. It was mamash shocking. They said, Avinu Malkeinu by Shachas. They opened the oroim, it was a big oroim, a regular day. Whenever they invade, that night, American soldiers went in to Iraq to attack, and there to show they were scared. The Scuds, 39 Scuds. This past year, they said there to show over 1,400 lethal missiles. Each one could have done untold harm. 1,400. Then over a whole Tekufa, there was a total of 39. 39 Scots, Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. There was one person who passed away. 39, there was no Iron Dome those days, obviously. And the first day, they opened up the Oroim of Avinu Malkeinu. And I remember some people were like, what? Come on. This is really over the top. And the Rashi was, no, Avinu Malkeinu. And then very shortly thereafter, they shot a Scud. And people, that's right, we better start getting serious over here. Avinu Malkeinu. I never heard, I don't know, the whole Corona episode, I never heard anyone opening up the Aron HaKodesh to say, people are dying like flies.
No one has a shul to open.
All right, so you're going to say that's it, there's no shul to open. Notice something, even if there was a shul to open, for some reason, the mindset is different. Just the mindset is different. I don't think they would have done it, even if the shuls were open. This is just somehow, it's the different mindset we're in. And not that it's bad, it's different. We are doing other things, people are doing other things. The amount of chesed is mind-boggling. It wasn't this type of chesed for Zuchusim like it was during the Persian Gulf War. the way we react, Rachmana Litzlan, to a tzara in every tekufa is different. What we cry about and how we express our tzar is different. So the Ritva says, the Torah says Yom Teruah. Every generation, you figure out what your teruah is. In one generation, you know what the teruah is? Tu 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 tu. Because that sound captures the tzar of your era, your generation. The next generation, you should blow a tu tu tu, because that sound captures your tzar, your cry. Another generation, you should do shvarim teruah. B'neshiva achas, na b'neshiva achas. I don't know, we don't know what these things are, but these type of sounds, it represents a different expression, a different feeling of pain, reacting to a different type of sorrow. And every generation has to customize its teruah. The Torah, by design, did not tell you what to blow. Torah did not say, okay, now I want you to blow two, two, two. Torah didn't do that. The Torah said, it's up to you. You decide, you adjust, it's dynamic. And this is a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush to say this. It's not the way we're accustomed to. We're accustomed to halacha is halacha. Halacha is standing, doesn't change one iota. If these were the trefas, in the time when it comes to animals, if in time and the time when the Torah is given, an animal has a hole in its lung, its treif, that's the halacha in the year 2021. Even though the law will tell you an animal that has a hole in its lung today will have the same life expectancy as an animal that doesn't have a. There's no difference between Beis Yosef glatt and treif today. Go talk to all the experts. They'll say, no, this has a hole in its lung. This one is Beis Yosef glatt. As far as we're concerned, they have the same life expectancy. Chazal say an animal that has a hole in its lungs is going to die within 12 months, according to one opinion. And therefore, I don't want you to eat it. Nishtane hateva. Animals have evolved. They've adjusted over 3,000 years. So what is the halacha? It doesn't make a difference. This is the halacha. This is the Mesoira. That's what it's all about. This is the halacha. Halacha does not change. This is it. We trace, we continue to do the Torah the way it was given in Sinai. Vizehu. There's nothing to discuss. Case closed. Yet the Ritva says, that's maybe true when it comes to Hilchos Treifas. And basically everything else, V'chol Torah Kula. But when it comes to Yom Teruah, to cry, emotion, tsar, no. That has a different set of rules. That is dynamic. Dynamic. In this generation, what do you cry about? In Ruchnis, not Narashim. What do you cry? What bothers you in Ruchnis? What do you cry about? When you discover there's a problem, how do you cry? What is the modus operandi? How do you react? Figure it out, and that's what you do on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why there's so much diversity in Tekiah, in the Shvarim Teruah. What is the Teruah? Even in the Teruah, in the Tekiah, is it 2-2-2, or is it 2-2, 2-2, 2-2, or is it 2-2, 2-2, 2-2? There are many, and there's probably another dozen different ways of doing the Shvar. Why? It's because every culture, different Jews, all different parts of the world, different eras in history, different situations that we find ourselves in, that is what Hashem wants. And that's why there is so much diversity in what is the sound of the Teruah. So this is a very fascinating idea from the Ritva. Now, let's be more practical. Okay, this Ritva is not something you hear a lot about, but being more practical, the bottom one is we have Rabbi Avohu. Rabbi Avohu says we have basically three different approaches, and therefore, let's do them all. So here is the dilemma. Is the reason why we do them all because we don't know? We don't know. We just don't know. Is it this, this, this? So therefore, because we're a little bit nervous, we're nervous people, just to make sure we got it. I went to visit someone recently, so he has, you know, he's in the hospital, and he has, it wasn't him, it was someone that was telling over a story, telling this person that when he was sick, they didn't know what he had, so they basically said, just give him everything, give him all the medicine. He has some type of virus. There's no cure for a virus. He has some type of bacteria, and the doctors are really struggling. This. So at the end of the day, just plug him in, just put in the IV, just give him everything. Something's got to work. Just give it all we got. And Baruch Hashem, he got better. Okay. The same thing. What are you supposed to blow? It's one or the other. But we do not know what it is. We do not know. Is it the Shvadin? Is it the Tua Shram Tua? So you know what? Just give it all you got. Just give it all you got. Is that the Pshat? Or is the Pshat no? Rabbi Alvo said, you have to do all three. They all are correct. And because they're all correct, they're all part of the of what a Torah is. It's not we don't know. We do know. Since and doing all three, Rabbi Avraham was Misakin, all three are integral to the mitzvah. So we do. We talk a blow, we blow 30, we do them all. We do so. But are we doing all because we don't know? One of the three is it, or is it no? The understanding is the Torah said only 9, but basically what he's saying is the Torah is saying 30. Because since the 9 have different dimensions, so this is the 9. When the Torah said Tekiah, Tzuah, Tekiah, do it 3 times, the Torah means 30 times. That's what the Torah really means. And you have to do all 30. Now, obviously, there are different levels of if you can't do it, you can't do it. Okay, but that's what you're supposed to do. Everyone's going to tell you have to do 30. 30 is what you have to do. But now, there are two important aspects. First of all, let's go back to the first approach. Rabbi Avraham said, this is an idea we like to talk about a lot of time. Let me give you an example to bring out this point. We've talked about this sometimes, and that is techeles. Okay, this also is a controversial idea. What is techeles? Today, on the market, you go into Eichler's, they'll sell you Tcheles, they'll tell you they have Murex, this is another word, I can't pronounce the next word, Murex. Dr. Goldstein is an institute of Tcheles, probably costs about $70, $80 to buy a pair of Tcheles for your tzitzis, Tcheles. It's a snail, a worm, a fish. They've discovered, they have proof, they have the archaeological, and proof, I don't know, they have their presentations proving that this is the authentic Tcheles from the Torah. Is it correct? Is it not correct? Well, a lot of people wear it. Rabbi Belsky, my Rebbe, Tarav Das, he wore the Murex. He believed that this is this Raglayim, that this is the real deal. Many of the Gedolei Yisrael, they wear it. Some wear it with Farhesia.
How did he wear it? One string?
I think he wore half. Yeah, there are 4 strings, so... So there are 2 ways. So either it's 2 whole strings, it's 2 strings, half of 2 strings, or half of 1 string. I don't know. I think he did half of 1 string. Now, if Herschel Shach does it a different way, whatever it is, it doesn't make a difference. All yoytze, it's half of 1 string. If I'm not mistaken, tzitzis have 4 strings. They're doubled over into 8. So they take one of the 4 strings, they take half of it, and they dye it tcheles, and that's the tcheles you see on the tzitzit, it's half of 1 of 4 strings. It's basically 1/8. It's 1/8 of your tzitzis half tcheles. That's the most popular way to apply the dye. So what is it? The Murex, right? That's what's very popular today. What about Radzina Rebbe? Radzina Rebbe devoted his life and he had a different creature. He came up with a different creature, which is a totally different creature than the creature of what they're using today, the murex. And then there's Rav Herzog. Rav Herzog had a different creature. These were the most brilliant minds, the biggest talmidei chachamim. The Yerushalayim is way above and beyond anything you can imagine. Are you going to tell me they made a mistake? Are you going to say that Rav Herzog made a mistake? Are you going to say that Zinner Rebbe made a mistake? A chutzpah talk like that, about people who are above and beyond our Yerushalayim, they didn't have siyata d'shmaya in lasuke shmaitz alib d'hilchasa? And you'll say, it's listen, you can only have one tcheles, it's my way or the highway. Okay, today, there's no guarantee what they have today is the right tcheles. Rabbi Reisman is their biggest critic. Rabbi Shlomo Reisman, he holds that it's shalik halach, I don't know. So what do people like me, so what are we looking at? What's going on over here? Well, who says they're not all right? Torah doesn't say exactly what tcheles is. There's a mesorah. The mesorah gives you criteria. So if this creature meets the criteria, it's tcheles. If this creature meets the criteria, it's also tcheles. If this creature meets the criteria, it's also... Who is to say it can only be one creature? Only one fish? Only one snail? Only one... I don't know what you call these little creatures. Who's to say? Who's to say it can only be one? There are rules, there's a mesora. What is the mesora? The mesora is the creature? Or is the mesora criteria? Any creature that meets the criteria, this is the tcheles. I don't know, it's a dilemma. It can very well be that they're all tcheles, they're all valid. You want to just reject people off the bat like that? The menorah. Is the menorah a V menorah or is the menorah a round menorah? The Lubavitcher menorah, right? The V menorah. Is that the way the menorah has to look? Is that the way it was? Who knows? Maybe yeah, maybe not. What would happen according to the Rambam if they would be using a round menorah? According to Chabad. You're going to say the round menorah is possible? Definitely not. If the people who advocate, they promote the round, if they use a V, is it possible? Of course not. It's kosher. It meets the criteria. Is it what Hashem had in mind? Maybe Hashem didn't have anything in mind. Whatever you want to do, I'll give you the criteria. You meet the criteria. It's good. Okay, the lechem aponim. Is it round or is it a square? The lechem aponim. The Gemara has two opinions. What's the bottom one? What's the halacha? The ner maravi. There are different opinions. Who's to say? Maybe there are certain criteria you have to meet. Not everything is my way or the highway. Tekiya shofar. Let's say you are you promote. It says in the Torah yom teruah, and my mesorah is 2, 2, 2. You do that 3 times. You go home and relax. 3 times. Tekiya. Shvarim, tekiya, 2, 2, 2, tekiya, and you do that 3 times. A guy walks in, I'm the Baal Tekiya today. Nice to meet you. And he gets up, and you know, here we just do, we just do one shot. We don't do all the 30 koilas. Okay, that's fine. I'm very busy anyway. I have a lot of places to go. And he gets up and he goes, 2, tekiya, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, and then a tekiya. And he does that 3 times. Do, 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 do. And the guys are sitting there. Hey, last year, the last 50 years, they blew for us 2, 2, 2. And this guy has the chutzpah to blow 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, and he runs away. And there's no shofar to be found. Are we yoytze? Of course you yoytze. Of course. Does it meet the criteria? 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. It meets the criteria. Yoytze. You have a different Messiah? Okay. Okay, so you know this year's not your lucky year. Someone else not. So according to Rabbi Avot came along and he said, we're gonna do more. We're gonna do more. We're gonna do all the different possibilities. What were they doing? What were they doing until Rabbi Avot came along? The pashtus is that in Lakewood they did it like this. In Far Rockaway they did it like this. In Flatbush they did it like this. And in Barapach they did like Flatbush, but they did it b'shtei neshimas. Comes along Rabbi Avohu and he says, what's going on over here? Achdos. Achdos and Klal Yisrael Rosh Hashanah, everyone, it's like gemish on the last day of Pesach. Everyone should take from the other one, but the truth is, if someone, you go to your son-in-law for Rosh Hashanah and they blow it, you're from Lakewood, you go to Barapach, or from Flatbush, you go here and they blow it, no, it's all so good. You yoytze no matter what. Is that the shot? Each one, Rabbi Avohu says, every single one is good. Because like the Ritva almost. Torah is not coming to tell you b'diyuk what you have to do. As long as you meet the criteria. Everyone, it's a personal mitzvah, customized mitzvah according to your liking. Rabbi Avohu said, listen, it's a very nice thing that everyone should customize the mitzvah, but it's just not practical for us because it's going to lead to machlokes, the division. Let's just standardize the mitzvah of the ganz klal mitzvah. And we'll all do, everyone will take from another, and that way that will create an achdus. Is that the pshat? Or Rabbi Avohu said, he went even further, he says, you know, the Torah really wants them all. Everyone here is doing right, but you're missing something. What you're doing is a part of a puzzle. What they're doing in Flatbush is correct, but Flatbush, they're not really fully doing the mitzvah. They're missing chelik of the mitzvah because they're not doing what they're doing in Lakewood. And they're doing in Lakewood, they're missing chelik because the Torah really wants everything. Everyone is correct, but everyone only has a piece of the pie. Everyone needs to come together. Everyone has, is that the chat? L'may nafkamina. L'may nafkamina. The nafkamina is, can you make the yihirotzayim in between each set? If you hold that when Rabbi Avo was misaking, everyone should do all three, he's saying, Achtos, each blowing your yoytzei limits without a shadow of a doubt. But in order to be ma'achli klali show, let's do what everyone else does. So that means after you blow the first 30 sounds, or the first 10 sounds, you're finished. You yoytzei the mitzvah. You made the bracha, asher kiddushan b'mitzvah from the shmaya kol shofar. You blow tekiah, shlorim through a tekiah three times. If you walk out of shul now, you are 100% yoytzei the mitzvah. You're done. It's like you make a bracha, and you put some food in your mouth and you swallow. Are you going to talk now? Of course you can talk now. Now I want to take more food. Do I need to make another bracha? No. Once I made the bracha, and I ate a morsel, and I swallowed it, I'm now permitted to make more food without a bracha. But until I swallow it, I can't make a bracha. So if you learn that Rabbi Avohu, when he came along and he was misaki, you should blow all three because each set, each one, you're yoytze. You can be yoytze in a Torah lechatchila with blowing either three times shvarim tura, or three times tura, three times Shavuot. Maybe even you can be yoytze even blowing one of each one. So did you blow now your first set? Yeah, you're yoytze midaraisa. You're done. It's like you made the bracha, you took a drink, you swallowed, you think. Now you can say the yehi ratzon. The mitzvah be'etzem is over. Now let's eat another course. Bring out the second course. Okay, so we'll now blow again to expand. Now say another yihirotza. And now do the same thing. Now you daven Shemona Esrei. Those who promote the recital of the yihirotza and do not view it as a hefsek between the, they are, in one this approach, are of the opinion that when Rabbi Avohu was misake, that if he should blow all sets, it's not because he views each to be a chelek, it's one big mitzvah. You yoytze with the bare minimum. The bare minimum and the mitzvah of tshua, any type of tshua that you want, any tshua that fits the criteria of a yevava, of a cry. People cry in spurts. People cry long sound. They do both. Anything that you can fulfills the criteria of a yevava in any way or shape or form, you're done. The Torah just says 9, 3 times surrounded by tekiah. So after you blow the first set, min ha-Torah, you have fulfilled the mitzvah b'shleimus. And therefore, you can do whatever you want now. You can say all the yihi ratzons, you're finished. But Rav Avohu says, don't leave shul yet. The doors are locked. The doors are locked. We're going to all have achdus on this day. We're going to blow now the other sets, the ma'achid klal yishol, and then we're going to do it during. Then again, the chazal, you have the yeshiva, the amida, v'chul, we do nachmal. But if you learn that when Rabbi Avohu came along, he was misakin, they should do all three, it's because Rabbi Avohu is saying, everyone is right. But everyone is only doing, there's a problem in klal yishol. There's a problem here. People are because of golos, people are just, they're not doing the whole thing. We only, you're here, you have all these different bits and manuscripts like for example, the Talmud Yerushalmi, bits and pieces, over in the Gros Gedolos, and on this part there's Talmud Yerushalmi, and this part there's no Talmud Yerushalmi. Where is it? What happened? Well, the Targum Yerushalmi, they didn't write on this pasuk. They sure did write on that pasuk. It got lost because of the tzoros of Golos. Chunks of our Midrashim and the Masorah just disappeared. They literally disappeared. It's gone. And every once in a while, you know, they found in the Vatican. Actually, found in the Vatican. They released it by accident. The whole Targum Yerushalmi, all the missing parts. For some reason, not everyone is so excited, I don't know why, they don't want to put it back in. To the Negros Gadolos, you have to go buy a separate svarim to show you the entire text from beginning to end. But things get lost. Rabbi Avohu came along and said, everyone here is right, but everyone over here forgot the bits and pieces. He collected from the whole world all the bits and pieces. What the Torah Taka demands, you should blow 30 kolos. Don't confuse me with the facts. What it says in the Gemara 9. I'm telling you, the Torah is telling you 30. Everyone over here, when the Torah says none, the Torah means 30. Different type of mathematics. It's really 30. Oh, it's 30. You can't go be mafsik. You can't go start saying yihi rotzoins. You say a yihi rotzoin in the middle. Yihi rotzoin, you're in the middle. You're in the middle of doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah is 30 sounds, 3 sets of 3. You can't talk. You did not swallow the food yet. Don't say here the Yeratzon. That's what it means in the art school. However, many authorities rule that no prayer be recited. You're not going to be mafsik. It's one mitzvah. Now, let's go to the next dilemma. Wait a minute. Why do we keep on doing this again and again? Bal Toisef. How are we allowed, if the mitzvah is only to blow 3 sets, to blow 3, what right do we have to blow more? Now, you can divide this question into 2 parts. Number one, if min ha-Torah, you're only supposed to blow 9, how then can we expand from 9, which basically means tekiah, teruah, tekiah? If the mitzvah is only 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, then by blowing 2, 2, 2, that's bal toisef. And if the mitzvah is 2, 2, 2, doing 2, 2, 2, 2, that's bal toisef. So that's one dimension of the question. The second dimension is, once we've already done them all, we did a tekiah, a teruah, a shvarim teruah before musaf, how are you allowed to do it again during Chazaras HaShatz? And how are you allowed to do it again after Shemona Esrei is over? So the question over here, Bal Toisef, is a two-dimensional question. In each set, you're blowing multiple sounds. And we're holding now B'Shas, it's like a tillin. Just like if you even go blow shayf, for another day of the year, do whatever you want. We're holding now on Rosh Hashanah. We're holding now b'shas the mitzvah. And in the mitzvah itself, you're going to tell me, it's like Rav Avo said, whatever you do is good. You can't have achdus. Achdus is not a heter at the expense of being in violation of Baal Torah. You take the approach that you only need to do three. You only need to do it one way. And achdus, so we'll do more. Isn't that border on, does that border on Baal Taisif? So this is a really tough, these are really tough questions over here. And that is a minor question. The Rishonim deal with this. So according to the second approach, that Rabbi Avohu says it's just one big mitzvah. And each sound contributes to the shleimus of the mitzvah itself, then there's no kash altogether, at least on the different sounds. Rabbi Avohu says, Golos has brought about a horror where this community forgot about two-thirds of the mitzvah. And this community forgot about two-thirds of the mitzvah, and this community forgot. It used to be that we always did 30 from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, but people forgot. And that's for everyone, so therefore I'm now collecting the mitzvah in its entirety to make one, this is the one mitzvah. That's not Baal Tosef, because it's one. If you learn, the people who will not be mafsik between each set, it's because they hold it's all, each part contributes to the shlemus of the mitzvah, so it's one mitzvah. So that's not a problem. Now what about repeating? So this is a very interesting idea. The only time you say Baal Tosef is when you add something new to repeat the same exact mitzvah multiple times is not Baal Tosef. If you add a fifth parsha into your tefillin, that's Baal Tosef. But if I put on tefillin 20 times a day, that's not Baal Tosef. At the same time, wearing Rabbeinu Tam, at the same time of wearing Rashi. See, that's another dimension of Baal Tosef.
It might not be. Is it Baal Tosef?
This is a big topic. The Mechaber says that when you put on both at the same time, if you're wearing a different time, it's not Baal Tosef because it's completely separate. At the same time, might be a problem. The Mechaber says, Yishav Kavana, that I'm only wearing one pair of tefillin, and the other pair of tefillin is just a lucky charm. It's just Ritzuos Ba'alma. That's a very good question, but let's not go down that path now for the moment. The basic rule is Baal Tosef is only when you alter the mitzvah itself. But when you repeat the exact same mitzvah, there's no such thing as Baal Tosef. If on Sukkos I go to your sukkah, then I go to his sukkah, and I go to his sukkah, and I go to his sukkah, that's not Baal Tosef. And you take the Lul Vinesha 20 times a day, I took the Dalad Minim 20 times, I went to yours. I take different people's Dalad Minim 50 times a day, that's not Baal Tosef. If you take...
This is also a one-door, would that be Baal Tosef?
If you put two mezuzahs on one door,
if
you put two mezuzahs on one door, Baal Tosef would be that in the parchment itself, you write Shema, V'hoya im Shemaya, and my Bar Mitzvah Parsha. custom-made mezuzah, I have my Ksuma, right? How about the Ksuma from the wedding? You have the Ksuma, on the Ksuma you write also Shema Yisrael V'hoya, and you put it on the door. That's Baal Tosef. It has to be in the mitzvah, it's an alteration in the mitzvah itself. So as far as repeating the sets, Nachamol, 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 that's not Baal Tosef. You're just doing the mitzvah multiple times a day. But the bigger problem Baal Tosef is, wait a minute, why are you blowing as part of the mitzvah a tekiah, a shvarim teruah, a teruah, and a shvarim? What's going on over here? If the Torah only wants you to blow one of these three, the other two would be Baal Tosef, because it's been packaged as the same part of the same blowing. So the answer has to be First of all, according to the second portion of the vote, the question doesn't even begin, because he learns that this is all a chelek of one big mitzvah. Rabbi Avo held, he collected all of the missing links. If Klal Yisrael, if you're doing it this way, you're doing it that way, you're doing it that way, every one of you forgot what the other two-thirds, and he was ma'achid the mitzvah b'shleimus, then it's one big mitzvah. And therefore, don't say the yihi ratzon. So there's no baal toisin, it's one big mitzvah. If you don't want to say that, and you want to say that it's achdus, but you also say by the bell, because if you say it's achdus, and you only need one, each one you yotze. If you go to a shul, you only blow a teruah. Yotze. Three, tekiah, tekiah, three times, yotze. Just that. If you blow just a tekiah shvarim and tekiah, yotze. Shvarim to a tekiah, yotze. So you're not doing something different. Each one in and of itself is good. The Torah is not mocked on what the teruah should sound like. So you're basically doing the same exact mitzvah three times. Just like there's no problem blowing the yeshiva and blowing the amida, because Baal Toysev is only when you make an alteration in the mitzvah itself. On your mezuzah, on the same piece of paper, you write a third parasha, but if I would put two mezuzahs on the door, that's not Baal Toysev. You just did it twice. You did the mitzvah twice. If I go and I go and I... So blowing shofar before Shemon Esrei and during Shemon Esrei, I did it twice. So before Shemon Esrei, I blew shofar three times. I did the mitzvah three times. How come in each one of it was a different sound? It's not ma'akev. Any one of those sounds would have been good by itself. So it's kiilu I did the same sound all three times. Because you yoytze with any sound that you make. If you make the shvarim sound, you yoytze. The tefillah sound, you yoytze. Shvarim tefillah, you yoytze. So, just because they're different, that's not an alteration of what the Torah wants. The Torah never ever said that the kia has to be do. Or, let's say we forgot. Let's say the Torah wanted one of these three. And we get together, and we are... We're not mafsik. That would be baal teis. Now here comes the biggest chiddush of them all. Okay, and we end with this, and that is, who says? How do you know this? Maybe now listen. This is the real shocker. This is the real shocker I'm talking about. Maybe the truth is that the Torah does demand a very particular sound. You go to the restaurant. If the waiter doesn't bring you the meat, the steak, exactly the way you want, I'm not paying for this. I want it bidiyuk. Maybe the Torah wants it to be a teruah, to bidiyuk the way it wants. Oh, the way it wants. We don't know what it is. Oh, we don't know what it is. We are in a lot of trouble. So you know what we're going to do? We'll do all three. Oh, you're going to do all three in one shot. So you're doing two things that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to do the shvarim. And you're packaging it all together in one shot. This is the real baal toisef. I got a solution. We're going to say a yehi ratzon in between the first, the second, the third. We're going to say, that's going to save you from the baal toisef. Pum fakert. If it's taka true that the Torah demands, you do it my way or you go right to Gehenna. We don't know what you want us to do. Your problem, so you'll go to Gehenna. You're going to, if I do one, I wasn't yotzei. So the best solution would be is you go to this shul. In this shul, they blow do. Was I yoytze? You know, one third chance I was yoytze. I go to the next shul. There they blow 2. Was I Yotze? Well, now I have two-thirds of a chance I'm Yotze. I go to the third shul. They blow two. Ah, Givald. Oh, but you went to three shuls. Was it Baal Taisif? No way, Baal Taisif. In this shul, they did it just this way. And in this shul, they did it this way. And they did it this way. Three different shuls. There's no Baal Taisif. I went to three places. So why do you have to go to three shuls? Stay in your one shul and do all three together. No, that will be Baal Taisif. Because then it's one package. It's a package of Rabbi Sai, we're now about to be Yotze, the mitzvah that I used to have to everyone should stand. Everyone should have kavanah for the back to be Yotze. All the announcements. You had better behave yourself. We're going to exploit this moment to tell everyone not to talk. We're going to make up halachas to make sure you're quiet and no one will walk out. And if you didn't pay your membership dues, you're not Yotze. Okay, and now they do all three. Oh, you're in a lot of trouble. Because you made one package, and in that one package, you added extra parashiyos. You really blew it. Pun intended. So what's the solution? We're going to make this shul, into three shuls. Men, on this side, three shuls. We're going to blow one set, and then we're going to be mafseh. We're going to be mafsi. Lahachas. Oh, but you need another bracha? It's tzarech. You have to come on. We're going to say Yehirat sign. Yehirat sign is not so bad. Yehirat sign is, Yehirat sign is like a par of a hefsek. The Yehirat sign is a hefsek. But it's not really. It doesn't take away from the bracha. Because the bracha is for the purpose of the mitzvah. So, Adraba the Adraba, as the little Baba Shabbat would always say. That was his invention, those two, the way to say it together, to say it twice. Adraba the Adraba. You have to say it. You must say. Some congregations, they see they made a mistake here in the art school. Some congregations recite the following prayer at this point. What they should have said is some obligations rule that one must recite. That's what it should have said, according to this approach. Some congregations follow the authorities who rule that one must recite the Yehi Ratzon at this point. Because if you don't recite the Yehi Ratzon at this point, you are in a severe violation of a biblical commandment of Baal Taisif. Because if it's taka true, the Torah says that there's one way to do that teruah. And now you're presenting a package of blowing shofar. It's like taking your batim and putting into the batim of tefillin more parashas than belong there. How do you prevent that from happening? I wear two separate pairs of tefillin. Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. At different times. That's not Baal Taisif. But if you hold the Torah, it's not makbid. I have no hakpada. Do whatever you want. You like this sound, do it. Like this sound, do it. This sound, do it. Then I'm just repeating the mitzvah multiple times. You want to say it, say it. You don't want to say the yirat, so don't say it. If you hold that the mitzvah is, this is the shlemus of the mitzvah. All three types of cries together contributing to one mitzvah, don't you dare say it. That's the second thing in the art scroll. Many authorities rule that no prayer be recited. It's a shleimus. So really, in sum total, we should revise the instructions in the art scroll sitting. And it should say as follows. Some congregations follow the authorities who rule that one must recite the Yehi Ratzon at this point so that there's no violation of Baal Taisif. Some congregations follow the authorities who rule that a prayer should not be recited, may not be recited, because it's one continuous mitzvah. It would constitute a hefsek in the mitzvah. And some congregations rule, do whatever you want. It doesn't make a difference. Because the Torah is not makbid. So once you finish the first set, you yotze the mitzvah. Achdos, so do the mitzvah again, do it again, do it again. Do whatever you want. Okay, so there are really three mahalchim in saying the Yehi Ratzon, when you appreciate what is the purpose of the three different types of sets and how it relates to the halacha b'al Tosef. Okay, that's the share.